It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a prison!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macro aggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rumble, Band.video, Vigilante TV, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your support. You can connect with me at the website, macroaggressions.io. You can find information about the books and the podcasts and the news sites like Activist Post and Natural Blaze. Make sure to bookmark those and check it out. If you want to find social media, you can find me on X at Macroaggressions, where I'm arguing with robots. We appreciate our sponsors. My God, we couldn't do this without them. We've got Van Man. Are you familiar with Van Man? Have you gone to their store, vanman.shop? Oh, you got to go check it out. They have fantastic products there that you will actually use, you know, like organic-y type stuff like, oh, I don't know, when you buy vanilla body butter from them and you read the ingredients, it's only a few items: grass-fed beef tallow, shea butter, olive oil, honey, vanilla oil. That's it. Not 50 different chemicals or anything like that. You can check out their tallow and coconut soap, their tallow and honey balm. You can get their tooth powder. I suggest you get their tooth powder. You'll throw your toothpaste away forever after you get that. And they also have a new deodorant that is going to, you know, that's free of aluminum. So there's a lot going on over there. Also, follow their social media. You'll love them. They're super based. Just go to vanman.shop. Take a look. See what you find. If you find something that you like, the promo code is macro. It'll save you some money on your way out the door. And you'll be supporting a fantastic small business at the same time. Also, you know Christian Yordanov. He's my certified health practitioner. If you're struggling with health challenges that you have been unable to resolve, like digestive issues, like low energy, or you can't sleep, or you have brain fog, or hormonal issues like low sex drive, or anxiety, or weight gain, any of those things, what you can do, go to livelongerformula.com and just book a free health assessment with my friend Christian Yordanov. He's a longevity author. He's a functional health practitioner, and he will help you get your gut working smoothly to detoxify yourself, to boost your testosterone. You'll sleep like a baby, all these things. You've got to take a look at it. Go to livelongerformula.com/macro. You can watch his latest free masterclass on the 7 deadly health fads that are shortening your life. And after you watch that, if his approach resonates with you, and it probably will, you can book a free metabolic function assessment with Christian so that he can help you identify the root cause of your health problems. Make sure you mention my name when you're booking your session. You'll get a free gift if you decide to work with him to optimize your health and your longevity. Go to livelongerformula.com/macro and take control of your health right now. Well, I get suspicious when they all want me to look at something. When the media, when social media, when the narrative managers, everybody is trying to get me to focus on one particular thing. My instinct is to ask, what are we being distracted from? When everybody is talking about Charlie Kirk, shouldn't we be looking for something else, right? No disrespect, of course. You know, I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't, I don't know, be aware of what happened with that situation. Clearly we should. Everybody needs to know what's going on to this extent that we can. But when there's a massive event like this, something that, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, when a 9/11 happens and everybody's fixated on that, that's reasonable. When Charlie Kirk dies, that's sad. You know, it's sad and it shouldn't happen and it's frustrating and it's a sign of, you know, cultural decay and all these things, right? But for most of us, I mean, if we're being very honest about this, this is a 2-minute issue. Oh my God, Charlie Kirk got shot. That's terrible. I feel bad. Shouldn't happen. Blah, blah, blah. After about 2 minutes, you're like, all right, you know, what's on my grocery list? When do I need to pick the kids up? Life, right? It just moves on. So when they're having sold out football stadiums filled with people for his air quote funeral, man, I don't know. It just felt like a sales pitch for conservatism. It felt like a America, you know, fuck yeah, love it or leave it, you know. It just felt very World Wrestling Federation to me. You know what I mean? It just, with the fireworks and the lasers and the smoke machines and, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but if Erica Kirk had come out with a folding chair and had hit Donald Trump over the head with it, I wouldn't have been the slightest bit surprised. Okay. It just felt very weird. And I know everybody grieves differently. It felt like a commercial to me. I mean, had it been in an open air stadium, they would have flown a stealth bomber over it. You know, one of those. So I don't know. So but we're distracted, right? We're talking about it. I'm talking about it right now. To the extent that they keep you focused on things like that, it's just less time in the day that you can focus on other things, things that really matter. And I'm not trying to say that the death of Charlie Kirk doesn't matter or anything like that. I just mean for your own practical purposes, for your life, it does not matter in your life, right? As a general, you know, overall vibe of the country, it matters in that regard, right? Yeah, for sure. Because it people internalize how they feel in the aftermath of this and then they carry that with them, you know? And especially with the narratives that say, oh, it's trans, you know, we have a day of rage against these trans shooters. And you think and go, okay, but the guy that they arrested isn't trans, right? Like, I get it. Like, he had a trans partner, but did he get infected by the partner? Like, can you get converted to transgender? Because he wasn't trans. All the narrative is like, we've got to stop trans shooters. Okay. I suppose we need to stop trans shooters. Can we focus on why we're calling this guy a trans shooter when he's not trans? I mean, the irony, right? Like, everybody's getting labeled for this. So what are we being distracted for, right? We're focused on this. I mean, there are lies. Like, we clearly see the lies, but the lies by omission. That's the most devious form of censorship. So again, it's not just about what are we focused on. It's also what are we not focused on. But that doesn't get any attention, because if it's an event like Charlie Kirk, and remember, you can just insert traumatic event here. I mean, it doesn't have to be. There will be others. And it will consume all the oxygen in the room. And when you have these events like that, you have to start asking questions. What are they distracting from? What's getting crammed through? What's going on in the background that we're not talking about? You know, there's only so many hours, or there used to only be so many minutes in the in the news broadcast to talk about the important things. Once they went to 24-hour news, they really didn't have an excuse after that. There's plenty of time, like, you know, but in the old days when you had a 30-minute news broadcast, these are the most important stories, right? You make that connection that if you're talking about it on the news, these are the important stories. And then a similar sort of soft psychological connection that you're making is, therefore, if I didn't hear it on the nightly news, it's probably not important. And so that's the lies by omission. That's the, you know, that's all of this. So when the entire country's focused on Charlie Kirk, you have to be, you know, this is the equivalent of the magician showing you the dove, right, in his hand. And and the question is, what's he doing with the other hand? What should I be watching? He wants me to focus on this dove in his hand. Therefore, I need to be aware of this and I need to be looking for everything else. So that's what we do. All right. So, you know, we know that they're lying to us about mostly everything, but it's the stories they refuse to cover that I think we need to be concerned about. All right. So, the mainstream corporate horror press lies so much that it sometimes actually surprises me when I get a small slice of honesty. And I don't know if you saw this, but did you see there's a 3-person couch interview? I don't know. It's not necessarily an interview so much. It is just like the beginning of them going to break. It's Fox News and it's 3 of them, 2 guys and a woman. And Brian Kilmeade's one of them. He's a dipshit if ever there was one. but sometimes they let the retards talk, right? And if you're working at Fox News, you're really good at reading teleprompters, but you haven't had an original thought in your life. But Brian Kilmeade has been thinking, apparently. They've let him off the retro. He suggested that we implement. And I'm being serious about this. You can find the footage of him saying that we implement a policy of, quote, involuntary euthanasia. You know what euthanasia is? Euthanasia is when you kill somebody mercifully, right? You euthanize them. You allow them to transition across the rainbow bridge. And when you're doing it with your pet, it can be a horrifying, terrible / loving gesture. It's everything rolled into one. It's extremely emotional. And we've seen euthanasia now get normalized and mainstreamed in Canada, part of their medical assistance in dying program, which has claimed the lives of over 10,000 Canadians, just I think in 2023 alone, and it's growing every year. So there's the whole thing. But Brian Kilmeade suggested a policy of involuntary euthanasia for the undesirables. Man, I mean, putting the kill in Brian Kilmeade, holy shit. And it's like, right as they're going to commercial, it like goes up. It's like, well, you know, maybe we could just use involuntary euthanasia. You know, back after this from Pfizer. And they're like, who, by the way, probably loves Brian's idea for involuntary euthanasia. Well, they want everybody focused on the narrative building stories, you know, like the Charlie Kirk murder or things like that, but not on the freedom stripping laws that are being passed and the digital, I just call it digital public infrastructure that is currently being built out by the corporate overlords. So as an example of some of the things that we're not talking about that I think is worth mentioning, let's talk a little bit about this digital partnership that nobody is really, well, maybe we in the alternative, the truly alternative media is talking about this, but you know, there is a partnership between Visa and a company called Tech5. Have you ever heard of Tech5? I had never heard of this company before. They've done something, a 7-year collaboration on what this is. And this is a group. So you know who Visa obviously is. It's
one of the largest, maybe the largest credit card company in the world. And they're partnering with this group called Tech Five, which is out of Dubai, and they're working on identity wallets with embedded payment options that are fully trackable, right? And part of this is going to be bringing forth, now here's the components of it that you should be alarmed with: digital identity, facial recognition, fingerprints, iris scans, your eyeballs, and biometrics, which I assume means scanning your butthole, but I'm not positive on that one. But anyway, it's going to be all be part of the program here. Now, as if, you know, this isn't alarming enough, you'd say, well, yeah, it's gross, and it's digital identity, facial recognition, fingerprints, iris scans, biometrics, and all that. But, you know, it's for financial transactions. And so, you know, if we're being fair, there's a lot of scammery going on in the financial world, right? And how many times do you hear about somebody waking up and losing their bank account, things get hacked and all that? And so is it really that unreasonable? I mean, truly, if every fingerprint is unique and I have a fingerprint that you don't have, then isn't it reasonable to think that I would be able to use my fingerprint to unlock things, right? I mean, I've got essentially my own private password that you don't have. It's my fingerprint. So that's the line of thinking that gets you into this, unfortunately, is that all that is true and it is a reasonable thing to believe. And that if only there was technology that was just tied to your digital fingerprint, then I could put my fingerprint on the scanner and prove that it's me, and therefore some hacker or some scammer in Nigeria isn't going to be able to prove, you know, when it gets to the fingerprint verification component, that's where they're going to fall off, and I'm going to prove that I'm the owner of it, right? So that is a very logical way of approaching this, and you would be correct in thinking that that could be a solution to the problem. Of course, the problem is that when the company that does the identity wallets with the embedded payment options that are fully trackable is partnered with the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the European Union, and is getting the full support and approval of Bill Gates, then you've got a problem. You've got a problem. Then I stop believing that the fingerprints are going to be used to secure my accounts, and I start thinking that this technology is going to be stolen from me and used against me at some point. Now, and why wouldn't I think that? You have the backing of literally the worst groups in the world: the European Union, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and Bill fucking Gates. They've all endorsed your program. They've all endorsed this. This is this company, Tech Five. You look them up. And Visa, 7-year collaboration, you know. We should have civil liberty concerns with this. We should have privacy issue concerns with this. Their plan, quote, secure and include, oh God, I can't even read it without laughing. Secure and inclusive digital infrastructure. We're just all inclusive. Is everybody trans in this digital infrastructure? Because I'm so fucking exhausted with everybody's trans. Everybody's got to be included. When have you ever been in a situation in society where everybody is included in something? It doesn't happen. It's called reality. Just, oh my God, we're just going to be so inclusive of everybody. No, you're not. You're Visa. I mean, I already knew MasterCard had partnered with the World Economic Forum, but apparently Visa's too. So they will monitor your payments, right? They already know what you're buying. It's only a matter of time before they assign a carbon score to it and make this all about, well, you know, those ribeyes that you're buying are too high on your carbon score. I mean, I feel like a broken record. I've been screaming about this for literally years. I've written about this in a book. It's 8 years old, so this is not new. the thing is that when you scream about this 8 years ago and you go, they are going to do all of these things. And people go, oh, get out of here with that crazy shit, you lunatic. And then it happens. And then they announce it years later and you go, here, remember all that stuff I was talking about? You had me fitted for a tinfoil hat and all that. It's all here. Here's the partnership. I'm not speculating or making this up. Here's the agreement. They've released a press release about this. This isn't theoretical anymore. And, you know, part of this whole thing is about the evolution of the Internet of Things. And this is the direction we're going. We've got a new acronym. We've got a new acronym, everybody. IOBNT. IOBNT. I'll tell you what it means. Internet of Things. We have the Internet of Things. We have the Internet of Bodies. And they have a new one. And you know it's a big deal because they announced the acronym for it. IOBNT. Internet of Bio Nano Things. Just rolls off the tongue, huh? And what is this? Well, it is basically digital identity tied to financial access. We need to know who you are in order for you to be allowed to access your money that run on the crypto rails that they control. So they're talking about digital identity, biometrics, whether that's fingers, eyeballs, spit, I don't know, whatever. Use your imagination. Biometrics, digital identity, tied to financial access. So again, if you can't, it'll always be sold to you as for your safety, of course. You don't want somebody to come in and steal your bank account, right? What if someone came in and pretended to be you and decided to steal your bank account? They couldn't do that because you guys wouldn't have the same eyeballs. But they could present all this information, even brilliantly forged documents, but they couldn't fake your eyeball, right? So we'll scan that. I don't know, man. I'd get some Bitcoin and put it in a cold wallet that is out of their reach. Because if your money, and again, back to the something I have been screaming for years and years and years, reevaluate the relationship you have with your bank before it gets reevaluated for you. They're already telling you here that that digital identity is going to be tied to financial access. And if you're somebody like me who says, I'm not going to identify myself. I'm not going to put my finger on this. I'm not going to let you scan my eyeballs. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. And they say, well, then you don't get your money. You have to know this going in. And of course, if you're waiting for somebody to tell you this is happening, you'll be the last person to figure it out. Let's talk about what they were doing in the UK. Did you see that whole pomp and circumstance of Trump going over there? It's called the Tech Prosperity Deal. So, you know, you're getting fucked, right? Oh, it's prosperity. Oh, we're going to be so prosperous in the aftermath of this. Are we? Well, maybe if you own stock in Amazon and Oracle and all these others, you might be doing well. But this is September 2025. It's the royals were, you know, they hosted the whole thing. It was Trump. It was Sam Altman. It was all the tech bros were there, focused on advancing artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and nuclear energy. That's what officially the three things that they were talking about, AI, quantum computing, and nuclear energy. And the people that were discussing this were, King Vienna Sausage Fingers and our orange dipshit president, Donald Trump, who is 100% controlled by Israel. God. And they're going to be, guys, relax. Everything's fine. These two retards are going to be in charge of deciding artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and nuclear energy. So we're in good hands. I don't know what you guys are worried about. This agreement was formalized while Trump was in the UK with that rat-faced cunt Keir Starmer. And they were talking about something. I don't know. Probably how they're screwing everybody that voted for them. Probably laughing about why people still vote. But this was not for nothing. There was a lot of money that was pledged at this event. It was $30 billion from Microsoft, through 2028. So it's just a couple years. And what they're doing is they're building the UK's largest AI supercomputer. So, so relax, everybody. We've finally solved the problem. Microsoft is investing $30 billion to build a massive computer to run the world. So luckily, everything's going to be fixed pretty shortly. $15 billion will be coming from NVIDIA to deploy 120,000 Blackwell GPUs in the UK. This is the chips that NVIDIA makes. And so they're getting dragged into the empire. I mean, you should have seen the dinner. The big hallway, picture your like craziest Versailles fantasies, and that's what this royal hall, the like dining room where they were in. The only thing missing was like children in cages or them murdering and eating their black servants in front of everybody. I mean, it was like, I mean, I'm as white as they come, and I walked at that and I went, God damn, that's the whitest thing I've ever seen. It was like, it was royalty white, you know, like the gross kind. Anyway, $5 billion from Google for their data center in the UK. There's, you guys in the UK, you're about to get a bunch of data centers built there, which is great. Which means which means even more Pakistanis in your country. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're already there. Partnerships to seek research in AI-driven drug discoveries. That's what they're, one of the things that they were talking about. Among other things that were terrifying, they're talking about fusion energy, which I don't know, probably not great when these guys are talking about it. But the thing that really caught me was the AI-driven drug discoveries, because this is a group of people that despises humanity. So you know that they're not making these drugs to help people who are sick get better and healthy, because they hate humanity. They hate people. They want them dead. They want them sick. They want them on the reservation. So when these people are talking about how they want AI to get involved in discovering new drugs, it's not discovering new drugs so that we can help humanity. It's discovering new drugs so that we can either A, murder humanity, or at least at the bare minimum, enslave them and then use them to mine for our the resources that we need and things like that. So. And there's $2 billion pledge from a company called CoreWeave for a UK data center. So again, you guys are getting a lot of this. And there's also going to be something called an AI growth zone to be built in the northeastern portion of England. And they'll probably run some kind of, like a, I don't know, free trade exemption situation there, I would imagine. So, but the UK wants a foot in the door on the data centers and the supercomputers and the AI cloud computing. They want in, you know, all roads lead to London eventually. So they're going to make sure that they're big players in this. And, you know, why wouldn't they? Let's move on to the Jeetpocalypse that's happening. The H-1B $100,000 per year visas. Have you been following that? Not gonna work here anymore. There's going to be a how do we describe this? I mean, how badly do you want all these Indian programmers in your country? Because it's going to cost you a lot of money if you want that. Now, first, I heard, you know, it doesn't even really matter what the official narrative is here, because I heard that it was $100,000 flat fee. Then I heard that it was $100,000 every year. And in the end, it doesn't really matter, because this is a negotiating tactic, I think. Because what the United States has demanded from India is that the Indians don't buy Russian oil and gas anymore. But see, that's going to be kind of difficult, because when they, when they slapped the sanctions on Russia and Russia moved their dark fleet, you know, off of the grid and sort of into, I don't know, the shadows, one of their, well, their biggest partners in oil and gas is China and India, for obvious reasons due to the size of their population. But when Russia was sanctioned and then they reached out to India and said, we've got oil, like we're not allowed to sell it to you, but we'll sell it to you. The increase in India buying Russian oil wasn't an increase of 37%. It was an increase of 37 times the amount of oil that they had been buying before. So it'd be one thing if it was like just 37%. No. 37 times. So this is like 3,700% increase. This is massive, right? And so what happens? Trump comes out and says we're gonna charge $100,000 for each one of these H-1B visas, right? We're gonna tax these jeets until they quit shitting on our sidewalks and bathing in our lakes. No more shitting on the beach, man. It's time to go home. It's expensive now. You gotta go, right? But I think this is a tactic. I don't think this is really gonna be a thing. I mean, Silicon Valley would be clearing out pretty soon. It would be accelerating the doom loop of San Francisco if you really, really were doing this, where everybody's got to get your you got to get your Indians in or they're out. You know, you got to get them into the country or they're locked out. Did you hear about Operation Clog the Toilet? Oh, you didn't hear about Operation Clog the Toilet? Well, it would come from, where do you think it would come from? You're right, Reddit. So Operation Clog the Toilet was this, and this is hilarious. Basically, when the announcement came down on the H-1B visas, they said, you got 24 hours. You got to be in the country. And they said, well, there are a lot of H-1B visa holders who are currently, air quotes, vacationing out of the country, right? And they said, well, you got 24 hours to get back in the U.S. or else you're out, right? So what the geniuses on Reddit did was they mapped out all of the top flights that were like Delhi to New York, San Francisco, Washington, L.A., Chicago, all of them, right? Mapped out all the flights and then got the Reddit army of autists to then pretend to buy these tickets and get them tied up in the reservation system and, quote, clog the toilet so that there weren't any tickets available for them to get back to. They were scrambling from India. They're like, I got to get back to the U.S. immediately. I got 24 hours to get there. Uh-oh, where are all the airplane tickets? Don't worry. Everybody on Reddit is going from Delhi to San Francisco. Or maybe they're not. Maybe they had a change of mind right before the credit card processing went through. Oh my God. It's amazing. But this is all part of the Trumpisms and Trumpifying America and things like this, right? It's like golden visas for $5 million, H-1B visas for $100,000 a year, monetizing nationalities, you know, stuff like this. And again, like the H-1B visas, it's not specifically for Indians. It's just that 71% of the people that are on those visas are Indian, right? 11.7% are Chinese. You know. And so who has the H-1B visas? Which are the companies that are using them the most? Well, it'd probably be no surprise to you, but Amazon has 12,000 people that they have hired. 12,000 of them are on these visas. Microsoft, 5,000. Meta, Microsoft, 5,000 and... I think, what was the other one? Another one had 5,000 as well. Oh, Microsoft 5,000, Meta 5,000. You know. this is going to crush small tech companies. If this goes through and it's it really is $100,000. Let's say, even if it's not $100,000 every year, it's a one-time $100,000. This is going to crush small tech companies, you know. Oh, please, don't throw me in the briar patch. Don't regulate me with $100,000 per Jeep tax on all this. Please, please don't with my $2 trillion industry, my $2 trillion market cap. How will I ever survive? Right? They love this. In fact, with Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta having 22,000 people behind this, my guess is that they're probably the ones legislating for this, paying for it. You know why? Like, why would you slit your own throat and do that? Because it eliminates all of your competition. They can never compare. They can never compete with this. They have to put $100,000 just to get a guy in here to do the thing. And then they got to pay him on top of that. They could never sustain this, but you know who could? Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta. Yeah, this is the don't throw me in the briar patch play. I've seen this before. It's all about getting India to stop buying Russian oil. That's really ultimately what this is about. I think once people sort of like, you know, once the shock wears off, this will be. I already read something today where they said, well, it's, you know, the doctors will be exempt. It's like, oh, here we go. We're negotiating. This is a negotiation. That's all it is. It's a shakedown. It's a shakedown by the American government. And if anybody knows how to shake down another country, it would be the American government, right? Led by grifter in chief, Orange Jesus, Donald Trump. Because everything's a branding opportunity. You know, he wants to put his gold tee on everything. So, of course, he's selling golden visas. You buy a golden visa, you get a free weekend stay at one of Trump International properties. Did you know that? I made that up. I wouldn't be surprised. Moving on. I noticed something. One of the things, well, again, here I go noticing. They don't really want you noticing. And this doesn't require like a PhD in noticing or anything like that. But there is a brand of violence. It's left-wing violence. And I know what right-wing violence looks like. And it's right-wing violence looks like death squads that are sent into your country under the cover of night to regime change your shithole country. That's, to me, that's more right-wing violence. Right-wing violence is, we're going to annihilate your entire country by dropping bombs on it for a year straight. That's right-wing violence. Left-wing violence is more subversive and shitty and annoying and frustrating. And I just want to, because there's been a push in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk thing. There's been a push to kind of normalize this. Well, you know, people on both sides are engaged in this violence. And no, that's not true. This is a left-wing thing. The right has their own flaws, for sure. And I'm not on the right. I'm not a conservative Christian. I'm not in that group. They have their flaws. But their flaws are way different, and in my opinion, easier to deal with and reason with, but the left is unhinged. And I don't know if it's the SSRIs, I don't know if it's the birth control, I don't know if it's the vaccines, I don't know if it's the atrazine, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the social media, I don't know if it's low IQ, I don't know if it's having dumb friends, I don't know if it's not showering, I don't know if it's putting a septum piercing in. There's something about putting that septum piercing in that turns your brain into oatmeal, right? But this has been something that has been going on since the Steve Scalise softball shooting, at least. This version of left-wing violence. And then it's gross, of course, but it's horrific if you're in the aftermath of it. But then the frustration is their denial of it. Or they're trying to like whataboutism, or you know, all of this, the interaction, listening to the justification, like at least with the hardcore right, they're like, you know, you're growing banana, we're growing bananas in your country and you're not giving us the right rate. So we're going in there, we're going to murder everybody in there. Right? It's a different version of violence. The left's the left's version of violence is the Waukesha car parade. That guy who just drives over a bunch of people, and then they give you the mugshot, and everybody goes, "Of course, of course." The 2020 Summer of Love, all of that, you know, the elevation of false idols, you know, the George Floyds of the world, you know, these people who are like, oh, you know, we're going to be building statues of our Saint George Floyd. Oh, the guy who held a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach, that piece of shit. You know, sorry, but you don't get, you know, sorry, but if that's your hero, then don't act surprised when white America doesn't take you seriously from this point forward. If you're that sure, you know, and I get it, the white America elevated him as a savior and told the black community they had to idolize him, but still, if you can't see that that's not who you want being in charge of your movement, then I can't help you. You know, the Lee Zeldin stabbing attempt, the Nashville Covenant School tranny shooter, the Butler, Pennsylvania Trump, whatever that was, right? This is all left-wing stuff. The guy on the golf course looking for Trump, more, you know, more spooks, you know, that was more... I don't know what that was, but more spook adjacent than leftism, I suppose. But Abundant Life Christian school shooting, the United Healthcare CEO, the Tesla firebombings nationwide, the one specifically in Las Vegas, the ICE facilities getting firebombed, the Minnesota Catholic school shooting, the Ukrainian woman stabbed on the bus, you know, all of it. Like, what is the common denominator? It's all leftists. I wouldn't even say Democrats, because I don't even know what a Democrat is anymore. These are leftists. These are the useful idiots that Yuri Bezmenov talks about being that in the aftermath of the revolution, they get put up against the wall and shot immediately. And they never figure out that what their role was in the whole thing until it's too late for them. You know, the Charlie Kirk event, of course. Again, what's the common denominator? Besides Israel. Besides Israel. No, I'm kidding. They're not responsible for everything. If I were to say that they're responsible for everything, that would be doing disservice to the things that they're actually responsible for. But the flavor and the insanity of leftism is a spectacle to behold. You know, it's this. You know, with the right, for better or for worse, they can articulate their points about what they're angry about. When I listen to the left give their reasons for what they're mad about, you know, it's incompatible. It's illogical to me. I just feel like there's got to be chemicals going through that person's brain that's making them say the things that they're saying. It can't possibly, you know, when you're talking about like, there's 157 different genders and we need to stand up for trans kids and you just go, what are you talking about? Like, what exactly are you angry about? They can't verbalize it. They don't know. You see, we have facts and they have feelings. And when the feelings that you have are because you have selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors coursing through your bloodstream, and that you've been on these for years to try and get your depression under control, it's not working. You're also on birth control pills, and you've taken the full batch of vaccines because, you know, you're trusting the science and you're doing what you can and you're, whatever. Man, I can see it in your eyeballs that you're not all there. But my fear is that everybody else can't. I don't know. I mean, this is a It's freedom of speech, right? I'm in favor of freedom of speech. And that includes the freedom to say things that I might find reprehensible. I'm a free speech absolutist. I believe you should be allowed to scream fire in a crowded movie theater. And when there isn't a fire, I'm also of the belief that if everybody in the movie theater decides to hold you down and kick the shit out of you, then you've got that coming to you, right? So freedom of speech, but not freedom of consequences. How about that? You get to say whatever you like, but if you say something that's silly around me, I might slap you, right? You're free to say it. I'm free to slap you. So everyone makes a calculation. Everybody has to make a calculation. But hate speech, that's not a real thing. Just so you know. So whenever you hear somebody talking about we have to restrict hate speech, I just invert that and say it's not hate speech, it's just speech they hate. And that's not illegal. You can say things that I hate all day long. Doesn't matter. This is the right to say it. But again, if you're somebody that says, I have the right to come out here and yell, I don't know, the N-word in the middle of a pickup basketball game, you have the right to say that. You certainly do. You also have the right to not ever say it again once you get out of the hospital. So, you know, I mean, but again, I look at the scene of the crimes, so to speak, of all these things, Waukesha, Butler, Abundant Life, Tesla firebombings, United Healthcare CEO, all this stuff. And I go, okay, what is the common denominator? You know, and if in the aftermath of all of these scenes, there was always a bunch of pickup trucks and hillbillies at the crime scene, I'd call them out. I'd say there's certainly, I found all these Budweiser cans all over the place and you know, these tire tracks and there's these rednecks. And every single time we have one of these shootings, it's always these rednecks leaving their Budweiser cans crumpled up out here. And it's got it, you know, if it was them, I'd say it was them. But it's not them. It's not them. They have their own problems. They have their own flaws. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to extreme public violence, that is the territory of the left. They have incorporated this into their ideologies. This, they believe that they are correct in doing this. Who's looting the Target and the Foot Lockers? Who? It's not white America, right? And it isn't the right, okay? We have eyeballs. We have cameras. So enough of this, oh, it's, you know, people on both sides of the aisle. Oh, you know, who looted the Foot Lockers and everything? Oh, you know, there are a bunch of white people there too. No, there weren't. No, there weren't. There weren't. I've seen the videos. There were not. Now what do we do? Now what do we do? If you're not willing to be honest about this, if you're not willing to be honest about what's going on with your community, whether it's the left, the loony left, and their propensity to light everything on fire, or the black community that anytime they're offended by something, they decide that they're going to burn down the city. Did you see everybody burn down Phoenix after Charlie Kirk? Wasn't that terrible when the way they went to Scottsdale and just said, fuck this Arby's, let's burn this place. You remember that? All those redneck, oh wait, no, none of that happened. None of that happened. Isn't that weird? None of that happened? So it's not peaceful people, mostly peaceful protesters on both sides of the aisle. It's not that. I'm sorry. It's not. It's the left. It's the Democrat. It's that side. It's the free handout side. It's the gimme, 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 gimme side. Here is ultimately the bigger problem. And this is where I have to warn the people who are on the conservative right about this. And this is when what Donald Trump did recently, which was label Antifa as a terrorist organization. Be very careful about this, okay? I know it sounds good the first time you hear it, but there are insanely dangerous ramifications of being legally listed as a domestic terrorist on the battlefield inside the homeland, okay? This is not a joke. This is not... So is Antifa, the leftist group, doing terroristic type stuff? Yes. The answer is yes. Are they a terrorist organization in your mind, in my mind? Yeah. So, would you like for us to label this clearly bad group that is acting as terrorists? Would you like us to legally label them as terrorists? The answer is no, I do not. And the reason is because it's Antifa one day and it's the Proud Boys the next.
Right.
And this is a slippery slope. It's just a dangerous, dangerous idea to do this. You see, stop to think two steps ahead to how this will be abused by each administration. Just, you know, the Patriot Act makes it clear that all of your rights disappear when you are a domestic terrorist in the homeland on the battlefield. So if something bad happens to you, you just get black bagged, taken away, taken to, it'd be one thing if you just got arrested by your local police, would be bad enough, taken down to the station, fingerprinted, photographed, and, you know, and if it's Antifa, then your mom would have to come get you out of jail, you know? So that would be annoying and frustrating enough, right? But because you would be a domestic terrorist in the home field, the feds would be involved in this. This wouldn't be a case of you having to sit it out in the local drunk tank for a couple hours. This would be that at 4 o'clock in the morning, people bust down your front door, hold guns to your family's heads, drag you out, put you in the back of a van, and your wife never sees you again. Because you don't have rights. And so you can cheer if Antifa is listed as a domestic terrorist group, because you would be right to label them as being terroristic in their behavior. But don't take the bait on this one. Mm-mm. Don't do it. Don't cheerlead for hate speech laws to own the libs, because those sneaky fuckers will use them on you. At some point down the road, once they get power again, it'll come right back out. You know this, right? You know, today it's Antifa that is the domestic terrorist organization. Next year, what if it's the Independent Media Alliance? What if they've decided that Whitney Webb, Derek Bros, and Ryan Christian have been doing too much thinking and talking and writing, and they've put this group together of rebels and maybe even domestic terrorists, right? That are spouting unfounded conspiracy theories that are tearing at the fabric of this society and endangering the lives of law enforcement and really everybody. What would you want to do to this terrorist group of subversive writers and editors and people like that? Would you want to hold them down and forcibly vaccinate them? Because that's what you said in 2020. Right? So I know what happens when the left gets in charge. They want you to lose your business, lose your livelihood, lose your family, be forcibly put into a hospital and vaccinated against your will. So what do you think they'll do if all of a sudden they have the magic power to deem, simply by waving a magic wand, that one group is now a domestic terrorist organization? Do you think they'll use that? Yeah. Do you think they'll... I mean, just extrapolate out with how loony the left is and think about if they were given this godlike ability to say that group is other than, what would happen? I'll let, you know, use your imagination on that one. So like the Trantifa group out there, they're the brown shirts. They're in World War II, if in the lead up to World War II.
people always talk about Hitler and the SS. And oh, he had used the SS. And what they don't talk about is that before the SS, there were the brown shirts. And the brown shirts were the groups that would go out there and start fights in the local, you know, political halls. Everybody would show up. They'd come in and start punching people out, lighting places on fire, breaking windows, doing stuff like that. They were Antifa back then. And the Antifa people of modern day don't know their history at all. Because if they did, they would realize that what was going on in World War II was that Hitler was growing a parallel unit, the SS. And once that unit was ready for service, he then had the SS eliminate the brown shirts. Okay, so remember that. Let's use this in the context of where we are today with the United States and the left using Antifa to create all this problems, Black Lives Matter, all that shit. It's all leftism, brown shirts to break the windows, start the fires, punch a Nazi, all that stuff. All those fruitcakes that think they're out there, they're fighting fascism and all that stuff. They're useful idiots. And that's why Yuri Bezmenov said in the end, they will be put up against the wall. Because they don't know they don't know the history. They don't know how the story ends because they've never read the books. But they will. They'll learn the hard way. When what happens to useful idiots when the curtain drops and their role is complete. And look, Soros has been using this group to destabilize the blue cities, specifically the blue cities in America for well over a decade. And I wonder like what the role is going to be now that USAID and National Endowment for Democracy and all that money has been essentially cut off. It might be rerouted somewhere else, but this is the thing. What you have to really kind of understand is that all this leftism behavior, it's not organic. It has to be financed. It has to be funded into existence by the Soros groups, because these people aren't smart enough to get organized, and they're losers. They have nothing going on for them. You know what I mean? They're not breaking away from their amazing job to go join Antifa. They don't have a job. They don't have anything to do. They don't have skills. Of course, they're too dumb to ever recognize this, that they're being used for something else, right? It's like, I have no skills, I have nothing going for me, but magically this group is really interested in having me a part of it. I wonder why. I wonder, they must see my hidden brilliance. They must understand my latent talents that they're going to pull from me. No, they're going to use you to throw Molotov cocktails at cops, and then you're going to get shot. That's what's going to happen. And you know what? You will have deserved it. You will go down as in the tens, if not hundreds of millions of people who have become useful idiots to the empire. But we talk about this because we see it. We talk about this because we know we're getting distracted by something else. We have to at least verbalize this and talk about the groups that are there participating, provoking this, so that people, when they see this movie the next time, they're probably not going to, you know, the Charlie Kirk thing happens and people are very emotional, but the next time it happens, hopefully you'll see the comparisons, you'll draw these conclusions, you'll say, oh yeah, I remember hearing something about that. I remember these guys. You know, I remember talking about this a year ago. Now here we are. It's real. Trantifa out here causing problems. I was talking about this in like 2020, 2021. I did an entire episode on the brown shirts. Here they are. They're the last to figure it out. It's hilarious that they'll be the last ones to get the memo about what's really going on. But it's frustrating that we see this and we have to navigate these waters and live in a society with these people. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's getting tougher and tougher to want to be around a lot of these people. And I think that's by design. I think that's happening on purpose to destabilize us. And I try to fight back against it. But the point is that I don't have anything in common with half these people. And never will. One of the things that, again, back to, we'll just wrap up on this, because with Antifa being labeled a domestic terrorist organization, and I know that the America boys, you know, are going to see that as a victory, but boy, I would encourage them to get a calendar out and just flip a couple years ahead. And write, you know, in 2029, there will be a changeover in presidents, maybe even sooner, depending on the left, right? And that change may not be J.D. Vance. It may be Gavin Newsom. So before you bestow these powers onto the president, if he's your president, if he's your guy in there, what you need to do before you do that is, in your mind, replace Donald Trump with Gavin Newsom, and then ask yourself this: would you want Gavin Newsom to have these powers? The answer is, of course not, right? But we got to be paying attention. Whenever I see something that grabs everybody's eyeballs, Charlie Kirk being the thing, my first inclination is to watch my six. What's going on behind me? If they've got me looking this way, what's coming around up my backside that I'm not paying attention to? So, I mean, look, never support hate speech laws to own the left, because they will be turned on us at some point, right? Just like digital IDs to stop the illegals. You can see where that's going to go. You know, if you do support these things, eventually you will be problem reaction solutioned into your own enslavement. Pay attention. Hey, everybody, if you like this show, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right this second of sharing it with your friends and family. Macroaggressions.io is the website. Please rate the show. If you think we've done a good job, give us 5 stars. Unlike that one guy who said, I love this show. It's my favorite show. I'm going to give you 1 star because you're number 1 in my book. Please don't do that. It's 5 stars. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.